Good evening and welcome to our study for today, little children. The date is November 12th, 2023, and the time is 2018 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green, glad to be with you again today. And hi, we're going to start our study with the Born and Raised article first published in February 28th of 2021. Chapter 11, paragraph 6. In Egypt, at Heliopolis, which is close to where Israel was residing at the time of the Exodus, the first day of lunar visibility, firmly believed to be the first day of the Jewish month also, may be calculated using modern methods, and occurs typically between a day and 2 days after the new moon, with first visibility, according to Ms. Gauci, being found to be April 19th in BCE 1493. That's 1 month. That's the first visibility for that particular month, which we are going to say is Nisan, the first of the Jewish sacred months. Our own LEAP Lunar Ephemeris Access Panel, which is on the main page of willofjehovah.com, gives lunar conjunction, i.e. new moon, for that year, as falling early on April 18th. These things are adjusted for the locality of Egypt in this case, but please note that lunar visibility is, in general, not very sensitive to east-west or longitude, except for any time zone adjustment which is required. Adjusted for Heliopolis, LEAP 15.3.7.1, which is our application running on the Will of Jehovah main page, willofjehovah.com, gives the time 0040 hours and 37 seconds for the early morning conjunction, that's local time, for April 18th, BCE 1493. Is it local? Well, it may be local time. I think it is local time. Yeah, I think it's always adjusted. Let me think. I don't remember now how the details are worked out. Well, we can look at it, though. We need to look at it. So we need to go to Will of Jehovah homepage. Let's duplicate this tab. And then we can go to willofjehovah.com, hopefully, right here. Right, backspace. And when we see, oh, it blocked the pop-up. I didn't try that. Well, here it is. That's the homepage, yeah. There we are. So, I'm trying to get the application here to show us. Yes, okay. So, when we go, we need to jump to the next new moon. So, here we go. It gives local time. For the time here, for example. So we can just go minus and go into the date field and put a minus sign. Then we go back to the year we want, which is 1493, which is, that's the convention we use. We go back to April and we go to the new month at that point, 1740, because we got the wrong time zone. So we change the time zone to plus 3. And what does it give for the new moon? We jump ahead. 1:40 local time, it says there. On the 18th of April, it says 1:40 instead of 0:40, but it depends whether we go plus 2 or plus 3 or what time zone we're in. If we're in this in the plus 2 time zone, which might be true for Egypt. I'm trying to think, but it's between plus 2 and plus 3, so it's in this 00:40, 37 hours is the number there, local time. It's in the right vicinity of what we said there. The thing is, the longitude and latitude of Egypt, of the place we're talking about in northern Egypt, is about 30 degrees. It might be 29 degrees. I think it's more than... Well, the latitude's not important. It's for the time zone, it's the longitude. So, if they are around 30 degrees of longitude, it's going to be... That's 2 hours, isn't it? Yeah. 1 hour for every 15 degrees of longitude. So, that's 2 hours. So, plus 2 was correct. So, when we put plus 2 in there, we get 00:40:37. So, that's the right number. So, we can see how LEAP 15.3.7.1, which is this particular version of it, it says 15.3.7.1. It's the same version that we used for this article in 2021. We're still running that version. That's the conjunction on April 18th of the moon in 1493 BCE. This is called Lunar Day 1 in the Egyptian calendar, continuing our reading of the paragraph now, as defined by Richard Parker. It's Lunar Day 1 when the moon is in conjunction, whereas the Jewish calendar uses first visibility, as already mentioned, and for the particular months under discussion, it's about a day or two later than the conjunction. It's April 19th, in this case, Day 1, according to Ms. Gauci and her tables, which you can look up online. It so happens that this day is a Friday, and other people will calculate this first visibility too. PLSV calculates it. The program Planetary, Lunar, and Stellar Visibility, for example, calculates that as well, and it's a free program for Windows computers. Now, it just so happens that this day is a Friday, April 19th, Julian, in the year 1493 BCE, the first visibility of the moon, as calculated. Now, visibility, of course, does depend in footnote 2 here upon atmospheric conditions like clouds, haze, etc. And vernal equinox is April 3rd in the year BCE, 1493. So vernal equinox, the first month of the Jewish calendar, typically is sometime after the vernal equinox. So if they had begun their month in March, as far as the first month of the year is concerned, it would have been before the vernal equinox, which was April 3rd. So we've decided, it's not completely arbitrary, that April 19th, because it's after the vernal equinox, is Nisan 1 in this particular year. That's the end of our study for today for Born and Raised. This is how we do these calculations. Well, I haven't explained how the calculations themselves are done, but we use these calculations that others have done and that we have done using our own calculator on our main page. That was a program that I wrote in JavaScript for willofjehovah.com that calculates with the LEAP calculator. Our proverb for today, we must move on, little ones, is Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is better than corals, and all other delights themselves cannot be made equal to it. I remember first discovering that when I was sick, I discovered coral calcium from an online late-night infomercial, Bob Barefoot's Coral Calcium, and I found out that coral calcium made a great difference in my life. It helped me. So corals, to me, have a great significance in my life, even though there's also mercury in marine coral that comes from the ocean. There's mercury contamination, so you can't be perhaps getting all your calcium from coral. And I don't take coral much anymore. But wisdom is better than corals, it says here, and all other delights themselves cannot be made equal to it. So that has particular significance for me because coral means something to me. Coral was precious as a beautiful ornament, too, in the days of Solomon, when this was written, for wisdom is better than corals, he writes, and all other delights themselves cannot be made equal to wisdom. That is saying something, isn't it? Little children. So you may want to ponder that. Our reading from 1 Samuel for today is, I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 12. Let me check. Seems right. Finally, this is after Saul's first expedition where he had success. Samuel said to all Israel, "Here I have listened to your voice as respects all that you have said to me, that I should cause a king to reign over you. And now, here is the king walking before you." Saul had just been anointed in front of all the people and declared as king. "As for me, I have grown old and gray, and my sons, here they are with you. And I have walked before you from my youth until this day. Here I am. Answer against me in front of Jehovah and in front of his anointed one." He refers to Saul as Jehovah's anointed one, the first time anyone other than a priest had been anointed as a leader in Israel. It was the king, Saul. And even David had not been anointed at this point. So Saul was the first anointed one of Jehovah who was not a priest. "Whose bull have I taken?" Samuel goes on. An anointed one in Hebrew is Messiah. "Whose bull have I taken, or whose ass have I taken?" Samuel says. "Or whom have I defrauded? Or whom have I crushed? Or from whose hand have I accepted hush money that I should hide my eyes with it? And I shall make restoration to you people." To this they said, "You have not defrauded us, nor have you crushed us, nor have you accepted anything at all from the hand of a single one." So he said to them, "Jehovah is a witness against you, and his anointed one is a witness this day that you have found nothing at all in my hand." To this they said, "He is a witness." And Samuel went on to say to the people, "Jehovah is a witness, who used Moses and Aaron, and who brought your forefathers up out of the land of Egypt. And now take your stand, and I will judge you before Jehovah and recount to you all the righteous acts of Jehovah that he has done with you and with your forefathers." As soon as Jacob had come into Egypt, and your forefathers began calling to Jehovah for aid, Jehovah proceeded to send Moses and Aaron that they might lead your forefathers out from Egypt and cause them to dwell in this place. So that translation, as soon as, that's a little curious. They were there for 430 years, according to the scriptures, so it took a while before they called out for help. So some translations say when Jacob, or American Standard Version, for example, and Rotherham, how that when Jacob had come into Egypt. So Jehovah sent Moses and Aaron after some time to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And verse 9, "And they went forgetting Jehovah their God, so that he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the chief of the army of Hazor," who's defeated in the genealogy in BCE 1286, as we've been learning, of the army of Hazor, and into the hand, he sold them, the Israelites, into the hand of Sisera, the chief of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines. Right? Starting in 1152, in BCE 1152, for the 40-year domination of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. He delivered the Israelites also. And they kept fighting against them. The Ammonites, for example, Let me think, is another example, but I'm trying to think, the king of Moab, see what the footnote is for that. Eglon, the king of Moab, right, that's an example of the Moabites. That's from Judges 3 and 12. And they kept, the Israelites kept fighting against these enemies in the promised land after they had been dwelling in the promised land. They still had enemies fighting against them. And they began to call, verse 10, to Jehovah for aid and say, we have sinned, for we have left Jehovah that we might serve the Baals and the Ashtoreth images. And now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies that we may serve you. And Jehovah proceeded to send Jerubbaal and Bedan, or in the Septuagint it says Barak, and Jephthah and Samuel, and Samuel mentions himself there, and deliver you out of the hand of your enemies all around that you might dwell in security. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, had come against you, that was chapter 11, you kept saying to me, no, but a king is what should reign over us all the while, Jehovah your God being your king. And now here is the king whom you have chosen, for whom you asked, and here Jehovah has put over you a king. If you will fear Jehovah and actually serve him and obey his voice, and you will not rebel against the order of Jehovah, both you and the king who must reign over you will certainly prove to be followers of Jehovah your God. But if you will not obey the voice of Jehovah, and you will actually rebel against the order of Jehovah, the hand of Jehovah will certainly prove to be against you and your fathers. Now also take your stand and see this great thing that Jehovah is doing before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I shall call to Jehovah that he may give thunders and rain. Then know and see that your evil is abundant, that you have done in the eyes of Jehovah, in asking for yourselves a king. Upon that, Samuel called to Jehovah, and Jehovah proceeded to give thunders and rain on that day, so that all the people were greatly in fear of Jehovah and of Samuel. And all the people began to say to Samuel, pray in behalf of your servants to Jehovah your God, as we do not want to die, because we have added to all our sins an evil in asking for ourselves a king. So Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Only do not turn aside from following Jehovah, and you must serve Jehovah with all your heart. And you must not turn aside to follow the unrealities that are of no benefit and that do not deliver, because they are unrealities. For Jehovah will not desert his people for the sake of his great name, because Jehovah has taken it upon himself to make you his people. As for me also, it is unthinkable on my part to sin against Jehovah by ceasing to pray in your behalf, and I must instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear Jehovah, and you must serve him in truth with all your heart, for see what great things he has done for you. But if you flagrantly do what is bad, you will be swept away, both you and your king. 1 Samuel chapter 12 comes to a conclusion there. And now Jeremiah chapter 16. And the word of Jehovah continued to occur to me, saying, you must not take for yourself a wife. Jeremiah being spoken to by Jehovah, and you must not, and also the people of Israel are saying, he's saying it to the people of Israel, you must not take for yourself a wife, and you must not come to have sons and daughters in this place, for this is what Jehovah has said concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers who are giving them birth, and concerning their fathers who are causing their birth in this land. With deaths from maladies they will die. They will not be bewailed, the people of the land, neither will they be buried. As manure upon the surface of the ground they will become, and by the sword and by famine they will come to an end, and their dead bodies will actually serve as food for the flying creatures of the heavens and for the beasts of the earth. For this is what Jehovah has said, do not enter into the house of a mourner's feast, and do not go to bewail, and do not sympathize with them. For I have taken away my peace from this people. verse 5, is the utterance of Jehovah, even loving kindness and mercies. Taking it away from them. And they will certainly die, the great ones and the small ones, in this land. They will not be buried, neither will people beat themselves for them, nor will anyone make cuts upon himself or make himself bald for them. And they will not deal out to them any bread on account of mourning to comfort someone over the dead. Neither will they give them the cup of consolation to drink on account of one's father and on account of one's mother. And you must enter no house of banqueting at all to sit down with them to eat and to drink. For this is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. Here I am, causing to cease out of this place before the eyes of you people, and in your days the voice of exultation and the voice of rejoicing. Remember that from the book of Revelation? The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. There's a scripture that says something like that in Revelation 18 and 23. And no light of a lamp will ever shine in you again, and no voice of a bridegroom and of a bride will ever be heard in you again. Verse 10, Jeremiah 16, and it must occur that when you tell to this people all these words, and they actually say to you, on what account has Jehovah spoken against us all this great calamity, and what is our error, and what is our sin with which we've sinned against Jehovah our God? You must also say to them, on account of the fact that your fathers left me, is the utterance of Jehovah, and they kept going after other gods and serving them and bowing down to them, but me they left, and my law they did not keep. And you yourselves have acted worse in your doing than your fathers, and here you are, walking each one after the stubbornness of his bad heart in not obeying me. And I will hurl you out from off this land into the land that you yourselves have not known, neither your fathers. And there you will have to serve other gods day and night, because I shall not give you any favor. Therefore, look, days are coming, is the utterance of Jehovah, when it will no more be said, as Jehovah is alive, who brought the sons of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, but as Jehovah is alive, who brought the sons of Israel up out of the land of the north, and out of all the lands to which he had dispersed them. And I shall certainly bring them back to their soil, which I gave to their forefathers. Here I am, sending for many fishers, is the utterance of Jehovah. And they will certainly fish for them, and afterward I shall send for many hunters, and they will certainly hunt them from every mountain and from every hill, and out of the clefts of the crags. For my eyes are upon all their ways. They have not been concealed from before me, neither has their error been hid from in front of my eyes. And first of all, I will repay the full amount of their error and of their sin on account of their profaning my land with the corpses of their disgusting things and their detestable things. They had filled my inheritance. O Jehovah, my strength and my stronghold, and my place for flight in the day of distress, to you the nations themselves will come from the ends of the earth, and they will say, indeed our forefathers came to possess sheer falsehood, vanity, and things in which there was nothing beneficial. Can earthling man make for himself gods when they are no gods? Therefore, here I am, causing them to know at this one time, I shall cause them to know my hand and my mightiness, and they will have to know that my name is Jehovah. It's the end of Jeremiah chapter 16. They were making false images that were supposed to represent gods, but they were not gods because they had no power. They were worthless. And that was something that was forbidden in the law of Moses, of course, to do that. It was against one of the Ten Commandments to have other gods instead of Jehovah and in place or before him, ahead of him, to put other gods was a violation of the Mosaic Law covenant. But it's more than that. Jehovah felt jealous for his people. He wanted to be their exclusive only God. He was the only God. There were no other gods. These other gods were not real. They were unrealities. And yet, because they worshipped these false gods, the Israelites had left Jehovah. They had fallen away from worship of the true God. And they no longer knew that Jehovah was the one with the power. He was the only one with the power to cause these things. He was the one who could cause these things, as we saw in the book of Samuel today. He could cause thunder and could ruin the harvest. Jehovah had the power to do these things, whereas these other gods had no power at all to do anything. And somehow the Israelites allowed themselves to be corrupted by the nations who lived in the promised land with them, and they were led astray to worship these false gods by these people living alongside them, but who were not worshippers of Jehovah. That's the thing. They were not worshippers of the true God. James chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. This is James, the brother of the Lord Jesus. For we all stumble many times. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is a perfect man, able to bridle also his whole body. If we put bridles in the mouths of horses for them to obey us, we manage also their whole body. Look, even boats, although they are so big and are driven by hard winds, are steered by a very small rudder to where the inclination of the man at the helm wishes. So too, the tongue is a little member, but yet makes great brags. Look, how little a fire it takes to set so great a woodland on fire. Well, the tongue is a fire. The tongue is constituted a world of unrighteousness among our members, for it spots up all the body and sets the wheel of natural life aflame, and it is set aflame by Gehenna. For every species of wild beast, as well as bird and creeping thing and sea creature, is to be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But the tongue, not one of mankind, can get it tamed. An unruly, injurious thing, it is full of death-dealing poison. With it we bless Jehovah, even the Father, and yet with it we curse men who have come into existence in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. It is not proper, my brothers, for these things to go on occurring this way. A fountain does not cause the sweet and the bitter to bubble out of the same opening, does it? My brothers, a fig tree cannot produce olives or a vine figs, can it? Neither can salt water produce sweet water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show out of his fine conduct his works with a mildness that belongs to wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contentiousness in your hearts, do not be bragging and lying against the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is the earthly, animal, demonic. For where jealousy and contentiousness are, there disorder and every vile thing are. But the wisdom from above is first of all chaste, then peaceable, reasonable, ready to obey, full of mercy and good fruits, not making partial distinctions, not hypocritical. Moreover, the fruit of righteousness has its seed sown under peaceful conditions for those who are making peace. That's the end of James chapter 3. The tongue is a little member and yet makes great brags. Verse 5. Like a fire that can set the woodland on fire. And we're often warned during the hot summer about the danger of, you know, a very small fire in the forest, how it can set the whole forest on fire, and how campers need to be extra careful in the hot summer months to put out their campfires, because one spark from that fire can set the whole land on fire. And sometimes that does happen. And we had a lot of forest fires this past summer. A lot of fires, and the smoke from those fires caused the air quality in the area of the city in which I live, or the town, which is part of the city, in which I live, to be less than ideal air quality. We had some days where we were warned about going outside because the air quality was not very good, and I had to run my I know that's true. I was able to verify that because I couldn't easily breathe normally. I mean, I could tell in my lungs that there was something in the air. So I had to run my extra HEPA filters in the rooms in which I was occupying, or in which I was busy doing things, such as my computer room. I had a HEPA filter running close by here, and I had one in the bedroom at night. I have about three of these portable, if not four, of these portable HEPA filters. But I also have a central HEPA filter, which I can run for my central air circulation system. And they can remove a lot of the small particles, which are what the smoke particles are. So without that, we could have, it could be serious, because if you're forced to breathe, well, you could also wear a respirator. Just wear one of those N95s or an organic vapors respirator, which I mentioned at the time we had this problem this summer. The organic vapor mask will do a good job of getting rid of that organic smoke vapor. So you can wear one of those if you have a respirator with an organic cartridge on it. The organic cartridges are excellent. But, you know, you don't want to be living with wearing an organic mask, an organic respirator, when you're doing your daily activities. You have to eat, and you would rather not have to wear that, so you can run HEPA filters as an alternative. They cost a couple of $100, I think, for some of these portable HEPA filters, and the central one's more money, more than $1,000 probably for a central HEPA. At the time I got mine, that's about around $1,000 is what it was, I think. But you buy these things, if you can't afford that, you get an organic vapor respirator mask, and that will protect you against all the organic vapors, such as paint fumes, and if you're doing painting, you can wear that. Or when you're using motorized equipment, it'll protect you from the gasoline fumes, to wear an organic vapors mask also, or a mask with organic cartridges attached. You can buy the organic cartridges once you buy the respirator. But anyway, the fire of the tongue. We're done. It is November 12th, 2023. Time is 2051 Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. This is Crow, my chronograph watch, and Cassie, my electronic digital watch, saying, in my behalf, bye for now.